Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Horse Ownership Experience with Billy Koch and Michelle Yu, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Horse Ownership Experience fans. Welcome to 2017. It's Tuesday, January 3rd. I'm Billy Koch, the founder and managing partner of the Little Red Feather Racing Club. With me from parts unknown, and for those of you who don't listen to the show, you'll know that Michelle travels a lot during the year, is Michelle Yu.
Oh, yay, me!
Can you believe we made it to 2017?
Well, we did take a couple weeks off there towards the end of the year. We needed the break.
Yeah, we need a little vacation. I almost died in Sun Valley, which was pleasant. But I will tell you that we did spend the day together on New Year's Day. And
yes,
Little Red Feather now has a lucky charm, and her name is Olivia, but I like to call her Olive.
And she was, actually, she went there yesterday, and you were not in your suite, but you had a lovely lady.
Oh yeah, Maureen.
In there.
Maureen. Yeah, I just talked to her.
I actually just only spoke the truth, so I mean, there was some good, some bad.
Yes. We do have a beautiful suite at Santa Anita. It's really fun. Kudos to my wife for making it.
It has the perfect mix of like someone's basement, but like upscale at the same time.
Okay, I like that.
It's super homey,
very homey feel, branded LRF, lots of pictures.
It's obviously like badass.
Yeah, it's badass. I like the badass. But it's a lot of fun. And Olive was on the floor, eating off the floor. She was wearing Little Red Feather tattoos, which we have available in there. And it was a great day because we also won two races, and I'm sure we'll get to that soon. But Michelle,
we will. But the first thing I have to talk about real quick is, so it was the Rose Parade yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people do you think watch the Rose Parade?
On TV?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm not a Nielsen guy.
I think that your next crowdfunding... Actually, I lied. It's not me. It was Maureen's idea completely.
Oh.
She thinks your next crowdfunding should be to have a Little Red Feather float in the Rose Parade.
Yeah. You know, she pitched that to me. And I it's an interesting idea. Why not?
She said it's like $100,000 to do one. You can get a bunch of volunteers to do it. Think about the publicity. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
And then we could ride with some jockeys
on it. Maybe we get a horse on there.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have horses walk alongside. Maybe your LRF Cares horses will be like part of the parade.
That would be something. That would be something.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great year. That would be something to point towards. Michelle, we'll put you in charge of that.
There we go.
We also have a great guest today. It's our first ever two-time guest, Costa Hronis. Will join us today. Costa was one of our very first guests when we started the show about a year and a half ago, or however long it was. Michelle probably knows.
Long time ago.
And he's a great guy, great owner, and we have some exciting news to report with Costa and LRF, so we're going to be getting to that in about 15 minutes.
All right, so, well, let's start with, I mean, I feel like we haven't talked for a long time, so there's a lot of, like, back races and stuff like that to talk about. But let's first talk about Midnight Storm decimating the San Pasqual and what your guys' plans are going to be.
That was a great race. We were, as you can imagine, and you're going to laugh at me, but you know who I am, and you know that the sportsman that we are, and we wanted to run against Arrogate. I mean, we were...
Right.
Like, yes. Was it an easier race because Arrogate wasn't in it? Absolutely. Would we have won if Arrogate wasn't in it? Who knows? But, you know, that's what we were looking for, and we understand that Bob Baffert and Judd Mott didn't want to run on that track, and I don't blame them. I mean, it was a freeway. But take nothing away from Midnight Storm. He cut fast fractions. Dalmor pushed him the whole way, and he had plenty left in the tank when Hronis Racing Accelerate came at him at the end. And just another impressive dirt win. He's now 2-for-2 in his last two races in graded stakes races on the dirt after being a grade one winner on the turf. And
talk about him like you know him.
Do know him. She's an amazing horse, and we're so fortunate. And Alex Venieri was on our show before. He's the majority partner, and he's the gentleman that let us purchase a minority share. And we're having a great time. And he's Alex has been very generous, and he's let us wear our silks. And the horse is just – the horse is on the top of his game – at the top of his game right now. And there's been a lot of Pegasus talk. We made a statement yesterday that as of right now, we are not running in the Pegasus. A lot of people wanted commitments very soon, and we don't blame them. The race is, I believe, on the 27th, Michelle?
The
28th. Saturday the 28th. Mm-hmm. And you know, the horse just ran, and what we didn't want to do was commit and make a deal with someone and then 2 weeks from now say, you know what, he's just not ready.
Yeah, he didn't come
we just didn't think that was fair. And there's so many races to point for this year, whether it's the Santa Anita Handicap, which is probably his next start, or perhaps the Dubai World Cup, which they've contacted
Billy,
us.
I'm going to Dubai, so yes, let's we should do go. Dubai.
Let's do Dubai. Yeah, I mean,
that's
that'd be amazing.
Right?
You know, but there's so many. You know, we've talked about the Met Mile later in the year. I mean, there's a lot of great options for grade ones on the dirt. And that's kind of our goal, to have a grade one winner on the dirt and the turf. And hopefully Midnight Storm can retain his form throughout the year and have a nice Breeders' Cup start at Del Mar next November. That's the plan.
Too bad there's not like a lot of synthetic options too, because you could have been like, you know, Einstein and Llama Man and try to get
just
that
all of
synthetic
them.
One in there too.
Grade ones on all surfaces. No, he's a neat horse. And really the credit goes to Phil D'Amato and his team. They've done an amazing
job. The Magician?
The Magician has really, he knows the horse so well now. You know, I was on Steve Bick this morning, Michelle, and at the races. And it's funny because we live in a society that is this now society, this instant gratification society, and everybody wants, you know, the fastest 2-year-old, and if they, you know, and or you know, the best 3-year-old, and we forget that sometimes these horses take a while to mature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a horse like Midnight Storm has just turned 6, and he's probably better now than he's ever been.
Right.
You look at a horse like California Chrome. You look like, you know, Arrogate didn't even start till midway through his 3-year-old year, and his first stakes win was the Travers this summer. So, I mean, everybody wants it right away, and I think they forget what these trainers, good trainers like Phil D'Amato, can do when they have time and they get to know the horse, and you treat the horse right. And we've always say it. We've said it on the air 100 times. Do right for the horse, and the horse will do right for you. And give him the appropriate breaks, and don't send him out just when something bad happens or they get an injury. Send him out for a break just because.
Right.
And that's a really good lesson, and hopefully for all the new owners, we don't preach a lot on the air, but it really pays off when you're able to do that and when you're patient. And I think patience is. My dad always told me patience is a virtue. And growing up, I was not the most patient person in the world, Michelle, as you might imagine. But
shocker.
Yeah. But here in horses, you have to have that. You have to be patient. And it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. But credit Phil and Alex and the whole Midnight Storm team. It was a great race, and we look forward to a big 2017.
Yeah, super exciting.
How's that for a recap?
That's great. Obviously you talked a little bit about Arrogate. He was entered, then he scratched, and I mean, you know, the days leading up to the race, we had a ton of rain. Like you said, the track was kind of a freeway. It was also super sticky. When I was walking on it, I felt like it was, you know, it was a mess.
Yeah,
It wasn't not safe. It just wasn't ideal for some horses. And, you know, they had the main track closed for a couple of days for training. And I know Baffert wasn't very happy about having to train on the training track. It's a narrower track, and it was, you know, pretty used up because every horse that should have been on the main track was on the training track.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of things went into that, and I don't think that he's necessarily concerned about training up to the Pegasus.
No, he trained up to the Breeders' Cup. That horse will be fine. And
yeah.
Yeah, he would have liked to have had a prep, sure, but they weren't going to take any chances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, Arrogate's the best horse in the world right now, and yeah, they had every right to scratch. And anybody who wrote or tweeted, we'll talk about Twitter later. I'm now on Twitter, Michelle, as you know.
I'm so glad you don't call it the Twitter.
The Twitter?
Because it's not. It's just Twitter.
I'm tweeting? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yes, you're tweeting.
I'm in the Twitter sphere?
You know, Baffert, when he had that horse Tweebster, do you remember him?
Yeah, sure.
So he used to say, like, he used to call him, what's his name, Twitter? Twatter? I'm like, Tweebster?
Oh,
yeah, that thing.
Oh, Bobby. Well, anyway, good luck to them in the Pegasus Cup. Oh, speaking of Bob Baffert and our guest.
Our former guest, Kaleem Shaw, and Bob Baffert have split ways. As far as I know, there's still no reasoning why.
I have not heard one peep. which is weird in the horse racing circles. Like, well, there's no rumors circulating. There's no anything.
It does say, you know, it makes like a point, I feel like, in every article to say professional relationship, like they're still friends, but he doesn't want to have horses there anymore. I don't know what the deal is. So
what
I'm
do
not
you
even
think?
I mean,
do you want
someone
speculate?
To be upset.
Yeah, go ahead. Speculate. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're part of the media.
No, media is supposed to come with cold, hard facts, though, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, really? I mean, there is speculation.
I don't know.
We have Costa Hronis in 5 minutes. We can ask him.
Well, we'll say this, that Dortmund is going to Art Sherman along with a couple other horses. And I think the other half of the horses are going to Doug O'Neill.
Right.
And I love Art Sherman was like, God, this horse is just a giraffe when he got him into the barn on Tuesday on Monday. And
but come on, Michelle,
he said that he'll probably end up.
What do you think happened? That's what people want to know. People listening right now are like, they want to know what Michelle thinks happened between Colleen.
I have
Baffert.
No idea. I literally
think?
Have no idea.
Right,
don't,
so what
I
are
don't
the,
know.
What are the options? What
okay,
could
the
have
options
happened?
Are Baffert and Kleem got into a fight about placing.
Okay. All right.
About running a horse somewhere.
Okay.
The second option was maybe he felt like Dortmund was kind of getting the shaft because of other big stars in Baffert's barn, and he wanted him to go somewhere else.
Okay.
And, you know, Art Sherman, I think maybe people are like, why Art Sherman? And Art Sherman said they had just met a couple weeks ago.
Right.
But obviously he's campaigned California Chrome successfully through an older horse campaign.
Right.
And with Chrome being gone in another 3 weeks, that means that Dortmund will move into star slot in the barn.
Okay.
So, that's you know,
good,
that
good
could
point.
Be it.
All right.
Kaleem Shaw's son is kind of like his racing manager.
Yeah.
There's a possibility that Baffert didn't like working with him anymore.
Okay.
There's a possibility that Baffert might want to not, maybe Kaleem doesn't pay his bills, so Baffert doesn't want to train for him.
It could be. I mean, you're throwing out all
right, I'm
good.
I'm just reeling things out. Yeah. Right.
I think the most, without having any knowledge, and I'm just like Michelle, I have not heard one thing. My instinct was ego. That with Judmont and some of these other big owners that Baffert had, maybe Kaleem was not crazy about playing second fiddle.
Right.
That was a thought I had. I don't know if that's true. You know what? Let's get Kaleem back on and find out.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
if you think he'll answer.
Yeah, I think he'd come on. He enjoyed being on the show, and we can say that we want the public to know. Maybe we can get the first story. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Breaking news on the horse
Kaleem's
ownership
on,
experience.
Though, and he's handing out horses. I'm going to have to ask him if he wants to hand one our way.
Of course you would. Why don't you? I mean, you know, Ryan wouldn't even have a beer in the suite the other day, but that's okay.
That's because he had to run down and claim a horse.
Okay. I'm just kidding. As you guys know. Anyway, so Kaleem and Baffert no longer. Next news story. We're going to find out the truth.
Oh, that would be excellent. We'll be right on that.
Yeah.
So the next thing I saw that was really cool is Naira is now offering $1 million bonus if the Belmont Stakes is won by a horse that was Japanese-based, meaning had to have a minimum of 3 starts in Japan. So obviously we saw Lonnie become the first Japanese-based horse to compete in all 3 legs, and I think Naira wants to capitalize on that, not only for the Belmont, but, you know, if you bring some of the Japanese contingents over here, you know, they have all those great turf races for them. So that means that you get the $1 million bonus if you win the Belmont, plus you get the $800,000 winner's share of the Belmont purse, or $600,000 if you dead heat. Also, the wagering thing that's going on in Japan, now they're allowed to wager on choice American races. So, like, for example, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, where they had Nouveau Record.
Yes.
It was at 4:43 in the morning on a Sunday morning, and they made Japan wagered $7.68 million on just that race.
Wow. That's amazing.
When they ran a horse in the Ark last year, $40 million.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's huge, right?
Yeah,
that is like
massive.
That's huge. And that's American money. That's not like yen. That's like a translated that's, into U.S. dollars.
Like, that's not like yen. Thank you, Michelle, for the translation.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, because you see, like, oh, this horse's purse money is crazy, but then you look at the little designation and it's yen. So it's like, no, he didn't earn $647 million.
Yes. No,
but
I understand. I think it's great. Good.
So I think
you know,
that
that's
really,
our
really
boy,
interesting. And
is that our boy Marty Panza working that in New York?
I think so.
For Martin.
I do believe
so. We should
so.
Have Martin on the show.
Sure, yeah.
He'd be a good person to have on the show. We haven't talked to Marty in a long time. He's an old friend from the Hollywood Park days. One of the best racing secretaries in the country, for sure.
Doing good things at NYRA.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's very interesting. We'll see where that goes down the line. The China Horse Club purchased an interest in Abel Tasman, who we saw win the Grade 1 Starlet at Los Alamitos. She'll stay in the barn of Simon Callahan, who has trained her throughout her career. And exciting filly with a new owner now.
I like
that. We should maybe get someone from the China Horse Club.
Work on that. Make a note. We got all these people to get on in 2017.
Hold on. I am making a note.
Make a note of that.
Right now.
So let me. We got Costa Hronas calling any second. I'm sure Costa is going to call in. And
you want to talk about masochistic or not really?
You know, it's predominantly in the news. It's not a great story. I know Ron Ellis. Ron Ellis was actually my first trainer back in the day. And, you know, he was following the rules. Let's just put that out there. I mean, it's not illegal to do what they did. And they sent out the list of all the horses that had been treated with this with the anabolic steroid. You know, back in the day when it was legal, it was used predominantly on geldings. And it was a, you know, and it's one of those things that I think people outside the sport especially don't understand. And people,
I'll
even people
it's
inside
not
the sport,
illegal drug, but it's not legal. Like
right.
It's not like Bute.
Right.
It's yes. Kind of in that gray area
right.
Where
let's
it's
talk. Let's talk about it when we come back
because
we have Costa calling right now, and maybe we'll get his take. Hey, Costa.
Yes, sir.
Billy Koch, how are you?
Good, buddy.
There's Michelle. You.
All righty. How are we doing today?
How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
Happy New Year, first of all. And what a way to kick off the New Year. Do you have a horse in every single race at Santa Anita?
No, not every single one. I think
no, just
think
the reason he wins, Billy.
we missed opening day. We didn't have anybody for that, and it rained on Thursday, so we figured we'd load up for the weekend, and we were able to run I think we ran six horses over the weekend, so we had a lot of fun.
All right, six horses, and how many winners?
We had three winners.
Three winners, won by like 20. What was the fun?
And you had a couple seconds. I mean, were you 100% in the money?
Yes. Yeah, we had, I think we had 3 seconds and a third and three wins. Yeah, we had a great weekend.
That's amazing.
Something like that, yeah.
Sorry, Billy, you thought Little Red Feather had a good weekend.
No.
Yes. Yeah, no. We got second to Little Red Feather. Yeah, and you know what? If we're not going to win, we're going to always cheer for Little Red Feather and Billy. We sure will.
Well, we're happy
for Midnight Storm. Beautiful horse.
He ran really well. And Accelerate ran great. What are the plans? Accelerate, for those of you who don't know, owned by the Hronas Racing and finished second to Midnight Storm. And he's finished third in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. What are his plans moving forward? Because I think he's only going to get better.
Yeah, we think so too. He's still learning. He's still figuring out. He's still a young horse. He's only ran seven times, so he's just starting to figure it out. But we're just going to keep him home. We'll just have him ready, and when he's ready to go, we'll pop him in there. So we look forward to his future. He's got a lot of upside.
Oh, very much so. And the horse that won. A lot of people have never seen this before. What did the horse that won on by like 26 lengths? What was the final total?
Oh, Infotabat.
Yeah, Infobidad. He won by 26.5. And I guess from what I hear, that's a Santa Anita record that somebody's won by that many lengths.
That's amazing.
I gotta say, Costa, what were you thinking down the stretch? Because I was in Billy's suite and people were like, "It's Secretariat," and they're all like yelling, "Go Secretariat!"
Well, I know John wanted to go out and get the lead, so I told Tyler. I said, "Tyler, you don't need all those goggles. You just need one pair.
Right.
And if you can come back as clean as you leave, I think we're in good shape." Because we were just hoping. We've ran this horse on dirt. We've tried him on turf. He's really not done anything so far. So we dropped him a little in class. And so we've decided he likes the mud.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Just would only run him when it rains. And you also had a good second with Sweet Charity.
Sweet Charity looked really good. She got a little bogged down on the lane, but Drayden found a spot to run, and she finished up really strong.
Oh, absolutely.
Little French filly, just turned four. She's got a lot of upside. We're looking forward to her.
Do you buy horses, and I think we talked about this when you were on the show last time, you really buy horses from all walks of life, we'll call it, all avenues. You buy foreign horses. You buy race-ready horses. You buy yearlings. You buy two-year-olds. Is there a preference, or do you just, when the opportunity presents itself, you just go after it?
Yeah, just like you said, when the opportunity comes up, if it's right, we have tried to be really diversified. You know, we got claiming horses. We claim horses for 20, 40, 60. We buy horses. We go to the sale. We do private purchases. We go to Europe. So, yeah, we're pretty spread out. We just think it's kind of like the stock market. We just want to stay, you know, a little diversified from all aspects and hope for the best. Hope a stellar wind drops in your lap, you know.
Yeah, that speaking of stellar wind, you know, let's talk a little bit about that, because if you go back and listen to our shows, I loved stellar wind going into the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and obviously to run against Beholder and Songbird, and what a race that was. But we didn't see the real stellar wind. God, she didn't break great. What happened?
Yeah, I think she just got a little. I think she got a little too comfortable in the starting gate, just sitting around. I think she just kind of locked up maybe a little bit, and then when the gates opened, she didn't go. So she got a little behind right off the bat, and when you're going up against Songbird and Beholder, you can't lose those seconds. That they're you can't afford any of those. So yeah, she got behind from the word go, and the track, that's a tough track to make up distance on.
Yeah,
but you guys are keeping her in training for this year, right?
Yes, we're gonna hope, weather permitting, if she can stay on her workout schedule, you know, if we can be ready for that Santa Margarita on the 18th of March, we're hoping she can be ready for that.
Is there who makes the decision? Obviously, it's you and John, but was there a thought, because obviously stellar wind to go in the sale, there's several avenues you could have gone. You could have put her in that November sale and she would have brought who knows how many millions of dollars. You could have bred her yourself. What kept her in racing?
I guess we're just me and Brother Pete and the family. We're just having a lot of fun with her. I mean, it's those kind of horses don't come along very often. So she was perfectly healthy. We had her vetted from head to toe, and she was in perfect shape. She was born to be a racehorse. So I think we kind of owe it to her also. I mean, we're having a great time with her. I know John Sadler loves having her in the barn, and it's something to look forward to go to the barn every morning and have someone like that down there. But I think we, you know, we kind of owe it to her also to let her do her thing, and she's going to let us know what she's done. Lady of Shamrock did it. Io Tappa did it, and I'm sure she's Stellar will let us know when it's time. For now, we're going to keep her on the track.
Yeah, and do you think it's a trend, and do you think, you know, Wayne Hughes did it with Beholder. You guys are doing it with Stellar Wind. You know, these really nice fillies. I think it's so nice and refreshing, especially for the fans of the game, like myself and Michelle and our listeners, to get to talk about Stellar Wind, to get to see Stellar Wind. Like you said, I think maybe there's a trend that, hey, you know what? We don't have to retire these mares right away. You can have babies next year.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it is. We kind of owe the sport and to keep it at the top level, to keep these horses around. And I'm sure there's horses at point you're just going to have to take them off the track because of the value, and I understand that. I just thought with her, just at her age, and she had a very short campaign last year, we kept her really sharp and happy and healthy, that she could go ahead and go another year.
That's
she only had four starts last year, but I mean, two of them obviously grade one wins over Beholder, so that chalks up for quality yeah. over quantity.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, she had a nice campaign, and we're looking forward to this year too.
Do you have a first?
Michelle, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry, you cut off.
Oh, sorry. Do you have a favorite race of hers?
Well, the race down at Del Mar. I mean, that was just so exciting to watch her and Beholder go head to head in the Clement Hirsch. That was a fantastic race, and then we came back and ran the Zenyatta. Same thing, kind of a rerun of the grudge match, and to go up against her twice and get the best of those two races. I mean, we really admire Beholder, all her accomplishments. She went up against the boys in the Pacific Classic in 2015 and just blew them out. To be on the track with her and to win those two times, yeah, those were definitely our favorite two races with her.
And I want to can I change courses here, Michelle, to talk a little bit about for those of you who don't know, Little Red Feather started a crowdfunding campaign, and we closed with almost $300,000 and over 140 investors. And we are very lucky to announce today that the first horse in partnership, Costa, has graciously allowed us to buy a minority share into a really nice 3-year-old named Sistron. And I wanted to say personally on the air, Costa, a thank you from all of us. We're excited to kind of close this deal, and we're really excited about his future. I watched his races about 13 times last night, and we sent out an email to all our partners, and I can't tell you how many of them just are so excited to be a part of a horse like Sistron, and who finished third in the Eddie Logan the other day after breaking his maiden at Del Mar. Tell us a little bit about him and
why you let Billy buy in on it.
Well, you know, that's a good question, Michelle. Really is. You know, we just, John and I talked about it. John Sadler and I talked about it. Talked with Brother Pete and the family. You know, we do have, as one of the larger barns in California, we do have a responsibility to do our part. Billy's gone out and done this and got all these people involved, and for us to play a small role to get people to the track, maybe to attract some new owners, it is our responsibility to help any way we can. And I think Sistron's a good choice because he's three. He can run on turf. He can run on dirt. He's very versatile. So I think it's going to be an exciting year for that group along with that horse for this season.
Tell the story of the name of Sistron, because I had no idea what he was named of, and Costa sent me this unbelievable email. I want you to tell it on the air so people understand.
Well, I told you I have a funny brain. It works kind of strange. So Sistron's sired by the factor. So a factor in the genetic world, and I'm not a scientist, but I claim to be here at the ranch. But anyway, in that world, factors used to be called genes, and so did a Sistron. Sistron's actually a type of gene that is they use in DNA testing. They don't use those terms anymore because the advancement in science, but it just made sense for me for a factor to have a Sistron because they
that
just
cool.
kind of go hand in hand.
Isn't that great? So Sistron is the first.
Let's
first
be honest.
Horse.
If you look at the Hirona stable, all the names are pretty much awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough job too, because I used to use my kids' names and stuff, and then someone got on the radio named Billy and said that's a bad idea, bad luck. So I quit doing that. I don't
you
do it anymore.
Oh, you blame me.
I quit.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
Oh,
well,
yes.
I know there was Scooter Bird and there's Brother Pete for sure.
Yeah. Scooter Bird's after my two daughters, Brother Pete, Daddy DT still on the track and named after my son. So
there you
yeah,
go.
We've had a lot of fun with some names.
The barn is it appears to be growing. I mean, you even said you're one of the biggest outfits in California, if not the biggest. Costa, is there, we've had other people come on the show and talk about, you know, budgets and certain sizes. Where do you like to be size-wise in your barn? Because like we said, I mean, you had six horses running in 2 days. You load the entry box. How many horses do you have right now, and how big can we get?
Well, I think we're about right now. I'm at 2013 to 2015, we ran about 175 races. Last year we ran 210, so we did grow a little bit, but we're probably right at the size where we want to be now. We usually have 40 to 50 in training, and as you know, you've always got horses off on breaks, sure. Resting. We've got the little ones that aren't going to be on the track for a while yet that won't come till summertime, so I don't even count them until they're ready, because we've got some three-year-olds that haven't been on the track yet because they're just not ready yet, so mm-hmm. It's just part of the deal. But I think we're about the right size right now, and we're comfortable there, and we've been pretty successful, right? This seems to be our niche.
Costa, you've mentioned you have some babies. Do you have any that you're excited about that are going to be prospects that we can look out for?
Well, you know, you're always excited, you know, to see them start to work out and stuff. But, yeah, we got a Union Rags that we like named Catalina Cruiser, and that, my brother named that one. And then we have a Temple City Colt that we really like. So we got our fingers crossed. It's a long way to go. So they haven't raced yet. They're still maybe 4 weeks off. So we'll hope for the best.
Yeah, and we need some weather breaks here too. Costa, before you came on the air, we were talking about how important patience is in this game. And you know, horses like California Chrome or Beholder, or even a horse like Midnight Storm we were talking about that kind of got better with age. How tough is it to sit back, even, you know, when you're talking and say, God, I know this horse is going to be good, but maybe he hasn't done anything yet as a three-year-old, and maybe he's going to be a better four-year-old. That it's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I think at the beginning it's even harder because you don't really know all the what's involved with getting a horse ready and having him pointed towards a race and being just right. And if you miss a work, you're going to miss a race and all those things. I guess it's gotten easier for us as a family because of the barn's grown. We're still racing, so it's not like we're waiting for a horse to get to the track. So that has made it a little easier. But yeah, I mean, it's the horses come first. They kind of make the schedule. So we just kind of have to sit back and let them prepare as they're ready to go. And that's, we just kind of follow their lead, and it's worked. So that's the important part.
That's great. That's
Billy,
great stuff.
I have a question for both of you guys, I guess. When you were doing the crowdfunding and you were trying to narrow down, I know you wanted to buy a horse that was already at the track and racing and not, you know, a yearling. How did you narrow down what people to approach about possibly buying in a share?
Well, we've talked to a couple people, actually a few people, the first thing you do anytime you start a partnership or a business relationship is you want to get someone, you want to be with someone that you know and that you trust. And Costa, ever since I've met this guy, he's just the such a straight up shooter. He understands how important this is for the game, and a lot of us, we love the sport. And he was my first phone call, and I said, please, can I meet with John and Sadler and sit down and maybe talk about it? And I met with John. Costa set up a meeting with myself and John at the barn, and we sat. And
you've never had horses with John, right?
I've never had a horse with John Sadler before, and I've always respected John. I've known John since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. So we sat down, and I explained to him that, look, we're not going to be involved. You don't have to worry about anything, really. We're going to handle the people. Santa Anita's been amazing because they're going to give us seats and tickets,
right?
And also, when you do the crowdfunding, there are different levels, so it's not like 140 people are going to be down in the paddock and in the winner's circle. No, because that's intrusive.
Well, and we Costa, was that questions that you had, like, you know, how many people are going to be imposing on us, and how important was it for you to have John's approval to do this?
Oh, no, John was the key. I mean, no, without John, it doesn't happen. John, mm-hmm. John's not only the trainer, he's the stable manager. So, yeah, nothing happens without John's okay, because he's who we look to and respect, and he has to make those kind of decisions. I guess I was at Del Mar, and I had gone down to talk to a jockey, and Little Red Feather had won a race, and there was probably 80 people in the winner's circle. And to be honest with you, I was really jealous. It was awesome. There was a lot of smiling faces, a lot of happiness going on, a lot of celebrating. I was not worried about that part at all, because Billy said that's his part. He takes care of that. Mm-hmm. They're going to be respectful of everything involved. So actually, I never even gave that any thought, because like I said, I've kind of watched Billy and his groups, and they have a lot of fun, and it's a great way to jump in the sport, get your feet wet, and just see if you like it and how you like it and how you want to proceed.
That's right.
Very cool.
No, thank you.
Are you guys
going
to do a separate set of silks, Billy?
No. What I told John and Coast, I said, this horse will run in Hronas silks. If at any time it's a day where you feel that you'd like to put our silks on, you may, but you never have to, and we will never ask. So this is purely a minority interest to get these people in on what we think is a really good horse. I've really liked this horse. I've always have since his first start. You know, he's bet down to the favorite in his first start. Sprinting on the dirt, and he had to give him a race. But now I just think he's a really neat horse. He's got a lot of speed and a lot of talent, and we're just absolutely thrilled to be a part of it, and I think it's going to be really cool. And I think Costa is going to be a superhero. We're going to try to have one morning when he works and have a bunch of people come out and let him see what a workout is and introduce him to John. And hopefully Costa will be there one day. And it's just going to be a really neat experience. And we're working on some other deals now. But Costa's the first. He gets all the credit. And we can't thank him enough.
Yay!
I don't have to worry about anybody getting too close to me, because Mrs. Hronas runs security for me. So
yeah, she's very tough.
Pretty safe.
She's very tough.
I know how to distract her, though. I just bring my baby around.
There you go. Yeah, that works.
Oh, she's our stable. She's our stable manager. So you have John, and we have Olive. So that works out good. But Costa, listen, we've taken up a lot of your time. Thank you very much for coming on. Is there any words of wisdom? We always did that. We did it last time. Anything that we've had you on about a year ago. Is there anything changed in the last year that to give our listeners to say, hey, you know what? Here's something else to think about when you get into this game.
you know what, it's changed my life. I grew up going to San Diego Racetrack and watching the horses race and betting a dollar on them with my parents and my brother, and us going down and being handicappers for the following 20 years. And then finally I turned 50 and I just decided I'm going to jump in. I tell you what, it's changed my life. I enjoy it. To no end. It's one of the best things I've ever done. If that's something that you're thinking about doing, it'd be great. It's never too late to jump in. I mean, we like I said, we started in 2010, and we've got a really strong stable now, so it's never too late. And find the people that you want to surround yourself with and get comfortable and go for the ride.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Costa.
Thank you,
we will
Costa,
definitely be in
so
touch.
Thank you so much for coming on again.
Yeah,
thank you.
Much
I'm
appreciated. Have
on.
A happy, happy new year.
Thank
and
you
our
very
love
much,
to the
guys.
Fam.
Best
Thank
of the
you.
Fam. Talk to you soon. Costa Jonas from Jonas Racing Stable. That
I
was,
love him.
Oh, he's
is
the
he
best.
Not like the best person
he's the best.
In horse racing?
No, he's just, you know, he is, Michelle, and he's very genuine.
Yeah.
He's genuine and well-spoken, and he loves the game. He's like us. You know, forget about the fact that this is our business for a second. We are horse lovers and we love this game, and that's what he's done. And for him, listen, we don't need to kiss anyone's ass on this show, and rarely do we, right? We don't need to. But he, from starting in 2010
right.
to having one of the most powerful stables in the country, and it's just him and his brother, you know, it's not some prince in Dubai. To have one of the most powerful stables, it's a credit to him and what he's been able to do and the horses he's been able to acquire. Because, yes, it takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of really good people. It takes a lot of smart people. It also takes a lot of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think part of it, too, is he's like you talked about, diversify the stable. You know, he didn't go out and just try and win the Kentucky Derby and let's
right.
try and buy what does that. I mean, he goes everywhere and goes to sales and privately purchase. And like I said, he still claims. I mean,
that's
not very many
point.
People have a Clips Award horse and like, yeah, I'm still going to claim a horse in the you know, Open 25 next
you know,
race.
That's a great point, Michelle, because people do that. They get in this game. They're like, I just want to win the Kentucky Derby. So they go mm-hmm. to these sales and they spend millions and millions of dollars on colts. And it's impossible. I mean, it's really hard to do it that way. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You know, look at the horses that have won the Derby. Look at a horse like Funny Side. Look at a horse like I'll Have Another. Look at a horse. There's probably a million of them that we can. Oh, not a million. That was an exaggeration. But there's a lot of them. Seattle Slough. These are horses. Doesn't matter how much money you have. It's how you use it and being smart about it, especially in this game. I'll get off my soapbox now.
That was good. That was good.
No, I was a little soapboxy.
It's okay.
Is that
I
Olive?
Liked it.
Do you want to put her on the air?
She's downstairs with Ryan.
Okay.
She's
All
just
right.
chit-chatty. She is cutting her third tooth.
Oh, third tooth. All right. Well, we were talking about masochistic. Do we need to really go back into this? I mean, I'm happy to. You have a question
it's
about
up to
it?
You.
No, I mean,
no,
it is
no.
what it is. What it is. It's just, it's a bad thing in our industry. And ultimately, they should just, in my opinion, it should just be gone. Just get rid of the steroids and just be over it. Then you don't have to worry about it, right?
I guess
do we really
so,
need
yeah.
a 60-day withdrawal period? What good is it doing? And it's really, if you talk to some trainers, it really does. If you're doing a 60-day withdrawal, which is now, to be safe, probably a 100-day withdrawal, it's not really going to have that much of an effect anyway.
Well,
so,
he's obviously done it after every race, right? You look at his layoff lines, and it's something that they always do because he is a teeny right. tiny little dude, and it probably helps him recover faster. But you know, it's the problem is every horse synthesizes medication differently, so you can't say, you know, oh, well, it's going to definitely come out of our system because there it didn't come out.
Correct.
I mean, we had the same problem with clenbuterol.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they give you a recommended
not,
withdrawal
right,
and
right.
your horse doesn't synthesize it properly
right.
and you get the blame.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. I'll clean it up. That's all I'll say.
So anyways, other than that,
I'm like sweating from that interview. That was so fun.
Well, you got really excited.
I know,
I liked
really
having
excited.
Both of you guys there to talk about both sides.
It's
of
so
the
cool.
Whole
and
crowdfunding.
I'm going to tell you something. We're talking to another guest we had, Gary Hartunian.
Yeah,
about a horse of his that we might get in on. That's a really exciting prospect. So maybe by next week we will have that announcement.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's kind of fun. It's like, you know, Look, would I like to own 100% of these horses and have it be Little Red Feather branded and the whole thing? Sure. But you know what? I just want to give these people, the crowdfunding people,
you know what
taste.
You should get for any horse? Like, when, if you buy in on something, is you should get like a set of like Kosa silks, but like on the arm have like the LRF.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Something.
I don't know
like,
if we could do that.
You know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I don't even want to go there because these people who are, they're basically allowing us to buy in. I mean, they
right.
really are
oh,
doing
yeah,
us
yeah.
a favor. So the last thing I want to do is piss anybody off. And
oh, I don't
and,
think
and,
it would make them mad.
Yeah.
Though,
or maybe
so
we'll make some hats or something like that. You know
there
what I mean?
There you go.
That'd be cool. I don't know. Maybe we can do that. Maybe we get a sponsor.
A sponsor.
I need a sponsor. I need a life sponsor. Do you have any of those?
Yeah, I could be your life sponsor, Billy.
Really?
Yeah. You know what you could do? You could just do jockey pants.
And have our jockeys wear them?
And have, yeah, the jockeys say, like, Little Red Feather, like Little Red Feather crowdfunding.
That could be cool.
Because right. then it doesn't affect the silks. You
right.
still get to see it. And then the pants
yeah,
are,
and then
you know,
the jockey's going to say, like, no, I want you to pay me to wear the pants. What are they about
well,
their sponsor?
I'm sure, well, you know, obviously they talk to them. But I'm sure overall, if you buy them, you buy their pants and you pay for the embroidery, they'll wear them for the race for these horses.
That might be, maybe we'll do that. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
You're a genius. I'm putting you on the LRF payroll.
I try.
What else? We don't have a lot of time.
I think just really quick, the Jerome was this weekend, and Ella Reeb was pretty impressive for Cathal Lynch and MMG Stables. Derby Trail obviously underway, so that's a horse to look out for, as he looked good going two turns, shipped in from Laurel for to the Big A. Decked Out won the American Oaks, despite Ken DeSormo stopping riding about 150 yards out.
Yeah, what was that
Giant
about?
Run won the Tropical Park Derby.
Why did he stop riding?
You didn't watch the race?
No, I said, why did he stop riding? Like, what's wrong with him?
He does that all the time.
I mean, he's amazing. I don't know. It just, I know, it was all over the...
Lucky he won.
Wait.
Sure,
okay, do your Tropical
pissed.
Park Derby, because then I want a full-on Twitter lesson.
Oh, okay. Well, real quick. So that was Giant Run, and then Peter Miller had an amazing opening weekend at Santa Anita, including dead heating in the Midnight Loot, so that was pretty awesome. Way back on opening day, Mind Your Biscuits won the Malibu. Unfortunately, we lost Heat Seeker. He broke his leg in a paddock accident, so that was sad.
Terrible.
And Black Caviar's daughter, Ossetera, I can't say her name, was third on debut, although she did win her barrier trial, so good. Maybe a little disappointing there.
Good job, Michelle. All right, now, okay. I am now, my New Year's resolution, per Michelle Yu, is to get on Twitter. I am at BKLRF. That's Billy Koch, Little Red Feather, BKLRF. And I'm not really good at it, and I need some pointers.
You're not bad at it. At least you're posting, which is a plus.
Here's what I've been told. Like, you can't start with an at the Michelle Yu. Like, you have to put a period before it, or else it won't do something. I don't know what that means. But, like, you can't start just at the Michelle Yu. You got to put a period in front of it, or you start a sentence and then put at the Michelle Yu, right? That's how you tag people. And I've been told also that you should always have a picture, because the picture tweets
yes.
get more looks.
Or if it's not a picture, then you should definitely have like some kind of like news in there, like
okay.
something.
Right. Okay. Well, tell me about like retweeting. Like,
okay.
should I retweet or not retweet?
Yes,
like,
you should retweet.
Like, if I see something that's
interesting, retweet it.
Retweet
yeah.
it. Okay.
Yes.
And what about liking, like the little heart thing? Do I not do that?
I mean, I don't. I have like 4 likes.
Really?
I think that by retweeting, you are showing your appreciation for something.
Right.
And then don't forget, when you retweet, you can add something
to it. You make a comment
to
it. Okay.
If you want to, like, you know, always like make sure something goes in with it, you know.
All right.
You
well,
do that.
Well, just so the audience knows, we now have at Own a Horse, which is the Twitter handle of our show, the Horse Ownership
mm-hmm.
Experience. We have at the Michelle Yu and at BKLRF.
And what you need to do is you need to like tag other people in your tweets. So like today you put the 2017
right.
debut of the Horse Ownership
right.
Experience podcast with, and you tagged me.
Right.
Right.
But I should have done at Own a Horse and at LA Talk Radio.
And at Costa.
I didn't even know he had a Twitter. Oh.
Yeah. So
okay, so we'll, after the show,
sure
we will thank him. We will thank him, and we will put up a link to the show. That's what we
yes.
will do.
Yes, well, eventually, because the links aren't up instantly.
Yeah, we get
so.
It. We get it like tomorrow. Okay, well, we'll yeah. do that tomorrow. Well, that's awesome. Okay, that's my
see,
first.
See, so like when I did it,
yeah,
I did it.
I
at,
saw yours.
At Own a Horse, yeah. So see, I like got everyone in there. Boom, boom, boom,
boom,
boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
And because here's the thing. When
yeah.
you tag those people, it shows up on their feed. Well, then hopefully they're going to retweet it. So then all of their people get
right.
to see it. So
right.
you that's how you expunge and multiply your
right.
views.
Okay, great. I got it. I'm going to work on it. We'll have a full Twitter report next week. We have Instagram at LRF Racing Club, and at Billy Koch 17 is my Instagram.
I don't Instagram.
You don't Instagram. You can email me, billy@littleredfeather.com. For any horse racing needs, or if you want to come on the show, or we should have like a day where we just have guests on, like regular our listeners. Like, what's his name?
J Wentz.
He retweets all my stuff. I was so happy. Anyway, it's going to be a great 2017. Thank you to Costa for coming on the show today. It was a great way to kick it off. And Michelle, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You are
Billy. Can I just say, by the way, too, thank you so much for your hospitality this weekend. It was raining, and it was so nice that Billy allowed us to come in, even though they were busy and entertaining on a huge day. You let me and Olivia, my mom, come in and sit down and eat your food and stay dry. So thank you so much.
It was our pleasure, and you are always welcome. And you are an original, and it is my honor to do the show with you. So we appreciate everybody also listening, and we will we'll be back next week. We're going to start doing this more regular than we have the last couple weeks. We apologize for our late season absence, but we're back. We're better than ever. What's coming up at Santa Anita this weekend, Michelle, real quick? What do we got?
God, you know what? I honestly don't even know what's coming up this
weekend.
Come on. Is that terrible?
There's got to be something good.
Well, you know,
there's a huge carryover. First of all, there's a huge carryover.
Yes, $76,000 pick six carryover going into Friday. So the whole reason the weekend's all just messed up because, you know, they had racing for New Year's and they had racing yesterday.
Right, I still don't know what day it is. Well, here's what we got. Listen, we got the San Gabriel Grade 2 $200,000 coming up on Saturday. It's older
horses. The handicapping tournament's coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, we got the Sham. Also, we have the Sham coming up on Saturday.
Oh, good.
The first 3-year-old 1 mile, 100 grand grade 3, which is a Kentucky Derby prep. We have the Las Cienegas
signing autograph on Saturday.
We have the Las Cienegas handicap grade 3 fillies and mares down the hill for 100 grand. And then on Sunday we have the grade 2 Santa Ynez, which is the first kind of Kentucky Oaks prep for 3-year-old fillies going 7/8 for 200 grand. That's gonna be a great race. That has you know who's gonna run in there is that Shane's girlfriend of Doug O'Neill against what's the Unique Bella, the Jerry Hollendorfer for Philly?
Yeah, Jerry Hollendorfer.
That's going to be a big race. So big weekend out at Santa Anita this weekend. Make sure you get out there. And Nate Newby is a good friend of ours, and we love Nate Newby. So he will take care of you. If you guys need anything, you just email me, billy@littleredfeather.com. Again, follow us at Twitter @BKLRF, @TheMichelleU. And thank you very much for listening. We will see you next Tuesday here on the Horse Ownership Experience. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to The Horse Ownership Experience with Billy Koch and Michelle Yu, right here on LA Talk Radio.